This is the Smoke Detector Show on Smoke Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Smoke Detector, the University of Westminster's monthly current affairs show. To kick off 2021, we're going to be covering Veganuary, from busting the myths to discussing plant-based eating with vegans themselves. I'm your host, Sarah Chaffee. Hope you enjoy. This January has seen a record number of pledges to trial veganism, with over 500,000 people joining the Veganuary Challenge. Veganuary is a not-for-profit organisation that informs and inspires individuals and corporations on how to switch to a plant-based diet. It was formed in 2014 and sees hundreds of thousands of participators every year. It is estimated that around 72% of people stay vegan after their trial month ends. Here's Adam from Vegan Food and Fitness on YouTube discussing why Veganuary appeals to people.
Why Veganuary? It's the start of a brand new year, so it makes it a great opportunity. Obviously, everyone's having a fresh start. You're likely to make New Year's resolutions anyway, so why not make yours about veganism?
As Adam suggested, veganism is becoming more and more popular, with extra interest around this time of year. Veganuary sees many new vegan products enter the market. This year, Domino's is offering a chicken-ant pizza and vegan nuggets made from soya protein, while Aldi has launched vegan-friendly Biscoff cupcakes. But it's not all about fast food and sweet treats. Many people find it difficult when they first become vegan, from not knowing which restaurants to eat at, to finding a decent cheese alternative. So, what's it really like? Let's hear from people who have tried Veganuary themselves.
I tried Veganuary in January 2020 for environmental reasons, and I started slowly by noticing what I was buying in supermarkets and the easy changes that I could make first, for example, oat milk. And I found it really interesting, the sort of new recipes and more interesting meals that I started to make. And I've been vegan ever since.
I went vegan 3 years ago in order to reduce my carbon footprint on the environment and just to find out more about, you know, vegetables and fruit and the benefit that they can have on your health. And I'm still vegan today, primarily because Veganuary helped provide me with so much advice, tips, support on where to find vegan food, and it also helped educate me on why I should stay vegan. So I would say it worked very well.
I did Veganuary in January 2020. And I must say I found it quite easy because I was already a vegetarian for the last, 25, 30 years. And both my daughters were doing it at the same time, and one was already a vegan. So I was showing solidarity with them. And since then, I've continued as a vegan. Any problems? We had some Christmas chocolate to use up. So I've had a few lapses. And I've also had a lapse when we were traveling in France, because when you're eating out, you can be vegetarian, but there's cheese in everything. So I've had to make an exception for that. But yeah, I'm happy with my decision and still running 100 kilometres a month on it. So you don't need meat for strength.
I tried Veganuary in January 2020, and I tried it because my sister convinced me. She had been vegan for a year at the time, and I had like quite a few friends who were vegans, so it was gradually increasing how many vegans I knew. I've been vegetarian since I was 9 years old and I'm now 24, so it didn't seem like much of a challenge. And I did stay vegan afterwards, so I'm still vegan now. I make a couple of exceptions every now and then, but I think it worked, and I really would recommend Veganuary to other people because it makes you go cold turkey, which is a bad phrase to use when talking about vegans, but yeah, it makes you, it forces you, and you say, even if people offer you things during the month, you say no, I can't because I'm doing Veganuary. So you've really got a reason and like a motivation to continue with it.
Now over to Erin, who is interviewing Natasha about her journey with plant-based eating.
I'm Natasha, I'm from Russia. I'm studying international studies and relations and Korea right now, and I'm on winter break right now.
Okay. And so you're a vegan?
Yeah, I'm vegan.
How long have you been a vegan for?
Just a little over a year. I'd say a year and a month now.
Okay, and what made you want to become a vegan?
Getting into it by reading how it changes the carbon emissions. I was primarily interested in environmental impacts of being vegan, and eventually some ethnic issues regarding human rights also started to interest me. But I would say that primarily I'm doing it for my own health, because I'm lactose intolerant and I don't really digest red meats well anyway. So it was a mixture of doing it for myself and the environment.
So was there like a specific moment that led you to wanting to make the change? And
Actually, throughout my life, it's kind of an interesting coincidence, but all of my best friends went vegan. So best friend from middle school, she became vegan, and then another friend from high school, also vegan right now. So I finally decided to give it a shot. And I realized, you know, they all kind of have a similar reason to me. So they were doing pretty well. So I thought I'd try it too. And it worked. It's working out pretty well for me.
So since becoming vegan, how has that like impacted or changed your health?
Well, first, I'd like to start off by saying that in the first maybe 2 months, I didn't take care of myself well. I did not read into the supplements. So I had a dip in my health. But then I realized that I wasn't being vegan properly, so I decided to do some research and I went to a dietitian. And after I got recommended some supplements that were proper for my body and like my age, etc., I now feel pretty good. I'd say, of course, better than I did when I was eating dairy, because I do not have digestion problems anymore. Sorry if that's TMI.
No, it isn't. So that's obviously, it's benefited you to become a vegan. Have there been any challenges? Like, what's been the most challenging thing about going vegan?
Well, of course, first of all, is watching my, whether or not I'm deficient in something. I do have to get regular checkups and just to check how I'm doing and if I'm taking proper vitamins. But also I'd say another, well, this is personal to me, in Korea, it's quite hard to find vegan foods here. They are becoming more aware and they're warming up to the vegan lifestyle, but it's much harder to find vegan cafes and alternatives than it is in, let's say, UK. I remember London had a lot of places with vegan options, but still, they still have a long way to go here, so that was one of the main challenges. But I did find my alternatives to most products that I eat on a daily basis, so I think I overcame that challenge.
And how do people usually react when you tell them you're vegan?
It's quite different depending on who I tell it to. I'd say most of my university friends are supportive. They're very also interested and open to learning more about it, which is I'm thankful for. But I do meet some people, I'd say my family, for example, who are traditionally very into meat. You know, it's a Russian household, so sometimes they will kind of question and, you know, give me a hard time about being vegan, but don't really try to force me to eat meat.
Okay, so they don't understand it, but they still accept it.
Yeah.
Okay. So then when you're, you know, out with friends at a restaurant in Korea, is it hard for you to often find vegan options, or do you kind of know what you can have by now? And
By now I'm already familiar with what I can and cannot eat, but it was definitely an issue for a few months. But now we kind of figured it out, so I don't face that issue anymore.
And so it's currently Veganuary, and a lot of people are going vegan for the first time this month. So what advice would you give to them?
I would definitely suggest figuring out whether or not they are suitable to be vegan in terms of their health. I'm sure a lot of dietitians would not recommend it, but I would say stock up on all the supplements that you need. Make sure you do a lot of research on that so that you don't hurt yourself in the long term. And it's good to meal prep a meal plan because it is very easy to fall into junk foods while you are vegan. Well, it depends, of course, where you live. But yeah, just make sure to eat a lot of nutritious foods and don't forget to eat protein. It is really important. And yeah, vitamins, protein, yeah.
And I'm sure when you tell people who eat meat that you're vegan, one of the first questions they ask you is, well, where do you get your protein from, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So where do you get your protein from?
Well, of course, it's harder to get protein, but I do get plant-based protein from, you know, veggies like broccoli and lentils and whatnot. But I also do have protein shakes and protein bars. You can find a lot of good ones on iHerb, and I'm pretty sure they are also kind of making, not supplements, but additives to certain, for Beyond Meat, if you know what that is. And meat replacements and dairy replacements often do add more protein, even though it's not naturally forming, but it is still, it still acts as a normal protein in the long run. So that is where I mostly get my protein.
And I mean, I think what a lot of people might not realize is, like, there is protein in most foods and in most vegetables, even if it's in small amounts. So
yeah, that's true.
You're not going to become protein deficient if you become vegan.
Of course, you won't be deficient if you plan well.
Yeah. Yes.
If you make sure to focus on that, you will be completely okay.
So, in your opinion, what's the biggest misconception people have about vegans? Like, a negative stereotype they form about them, or what do you think people get wrong?
I think people think that vegans miss out on a lot of delicious food, which is partially true, but they don't really understand that vegan food can also be really yummy and, you know, nutritious and colorful, and it can be, you know, even more delicious than junk food. And another stereotype is we only eat quote-unquote grass, which is so not true. We can enjoy different types of foods. We can, you know, indulge in junk foods that normal people indulge in, like Oreos, for example. So I think those are the biggest misconceptions.
And you're in a vegan club, the Yonsei Vegans. So could you just tell me a bit about that, like what you guys do, how that began?
I began that club after I realized that a lot of my friends are interested in veganism. We're not particularly promoting veganism to other people, but we're just using the time to learn more about, like, environmental issues and going on, like, local hunts to find vegan cafes and restaurants. That's kind of been halted since Corona outbreak, but essentially we focus on spreading awareness and tackling those misconceptions that I discussed earlier. But yeah, just as a premise, quite a few people thought that we're, like, promoting veganism, which is not the case. We're just here to kind of, like, we're here if you want to learn about it.
So is there anything, like, what's the weirdest thing someone has said to you about being a vegan?
I actually met another vegan at a vegan event in Seoul, and she said that she thought that I am not suitable to be a vegan because I seem to, like, we discussed my background, like my Russian culture and stuff, and she was like, I don't think you'll be able to be vegan in the long run because I think your culture and heritage will affect that a lot. And I found that really weird because I think, you know, anyone can become vegan if they really wanted to. I don't think it should depend on who you are. It should depend on what you want to do with your stomach.
So she thought, yeah, just because you're Russian that you wouldn't be able to become vegan in the long run.
Yeah, she had, like, that stereotype of Russians are big meat eaters and, you know, they're so big on dairy, which is true, but I mean, here I am. I'm okay.
So when you when you do go back home to Russia, is it hard to find other vegans, or is it becoming popular over there?
Yeah, it's becoming popular in Russia too. I'd say it's even kind of easier to find some vegan things in Russia because the imports are cheaper than they are in Korea. Like vegan cheese, they don't manufacture it locally yet, but they do have replacements in Russia that are cheaper. So I think it's easier in some aspects. But I don't really have any vegan friends there as of yet. But yeah, I'd say Russia is becoming more open to it as well. At least my city, St. Petersburg.
Okay.
Well, I want to say thanks for interviewing me. I didn't expect like people to be interested in veganism. Like, again, I'm not trying to promote it, but I'm just happy that people are more accepting of it, because sometimes I am ashamed to say it to some people. Well, I feel like it can be a social buffer, but most of the time people are accepting of it, so that's good.
Yeah, and I think especially with the Veganuary challenge, I think, you know, that's a good way for people to kind of learn more about it or even try it out, even if it's just for a month. So
yeah.
I think, yeah, people are definitely embracing veganism, you know?
Yep.
Okay, so yes, thanks again for doing this, and I really enjoyed talking to you.
Oh, sure, I enjoyed this too.
Thank you so much.
Now let's examine the potential myths about veganism. Number one. It's restrictive. Giving up milk, cheese, and meat may seem like no fun, but vegans can enjoy as much variation as anyone else. With new products arriving on shelves every month, there are now substitutes for many meat dishes. For example, many families enjoyed vegan roast this past Christmas. In our house, we had tofurkey, a soy and wheat-based protein filled with stuffing. But being vegan isn't just about replicating what meat eaters enjoy. It's important to use unprocessed foods such as lentils and pulses, which provide protein. These versatile ingredients can be made to replicate dishes from around the world. In fact, I've never tried so many different foods as when I went vegan. The second myth is that it's not healthy, because it's difficult to find micronutrients and protein in a vegan diet. But studies show that vegan food can provide more than enough protein for humans. For example, one cup of black beans contains 15 grams of protein, which is more than a chicken drumstick, according to eatingwell.com. Meanwhile, one cup of soybean protein, such as tofu, contains around 31 grams of protein, which is more than a 4-ounce turkey burger. Soybeans are also rich in amino acids, which many people believe vegans lack. Even spinach and quinoa contain protein, so it's unlikely that a plant-based diet would leave you lacking. One of the biggest concerns about a vegan diet, though, is that it could cause vitamin B12 and calcium deficiencies. Although it may be a little more difficult to find these micronutrients naturally in vegan food, tofu and plant milks fortified with B12 and calcium are a great place to start. Nutritional yeast, mushrooms, and fortified cereals all contain B12. You can also take a multivitamin if you're worried about lacking nutrients. But if you have to take a supplement, surely it's not a sustainable diet. Not all vegans take vitamins, and they are perfectly healthy. In fact, vegan diets didn't originally lack B12, but pesticides created for industrial farming meant that B12 no longer naturally occurs in vegetables as it used to. According to organicconsumers.org, 40% of American adults, even those who are meat eaters, are slightly deficient in B12. The third myth is that there's only one kind of person who's vegan. It's that lefty, liberal hippie that cares more about animals than humans. In fact, many celebrities and public figures have adopted plant-based diets, even ones you wouldn't suspect. Lewis Hamilton went vegan in 2017 after watching What the Health, a documentary about the benefits of adopting a plant-based diet. But it's not just him. Zac Efron, Beyonce, Bill Clinton, and Miley Cyrus are all vegan. But besides following celebrity culture, there are many reasons that people go vegan. With the help of Dr. Joanne Kong's 2016 TED Talk, we'll be examining these reasons. According to Veganuary, 38% of people wanted to go vegan for their health. This is because a plant-based diet has been linked to protecting against certain cancers, reducing blood sugar and reducing risk of heart disease, says Healthline.
Why are plant-based vegetarian and vegan diets the healthier choice? There are so many reasons. A wide range of nutrients, beneficial fiber found only in plant foods, antioxidants, and hundreds of thousands of phytochemicals that protect the body and support good health.
Veganuary notes that 37% of people go vegan to protect animal livestock that are forced into terrible conditions, split apart from their young, and often killed if they're not valuable to the meat industry. For example, male chicks cannot produce eggs, so they are killed at 1 day old. A spokesman from the British Egg Information Service is quoted saying that they are culled almost immediately, so at a day old they are humanely gassed and used as feed for reptiles or other animals. Going vegan reduces the demand for animal products and should eventually lead to a reduction in animals that are killed.
Every animal in a factory farm is just as individual a living being as any of your pets. All animals have the will to live, the capacity to suffer, and are equally capable of receiving our love. We may therefore ask ourselves the question, why love one but eat the other?
Finally, Veganuary suggests that 18% of vegans adopted their lifestyle to reduce their impact on the environment. Plant-based foods require much less water to produce and don't emit greenhouse gases like livestock do. This is why researchers at Oxford University found that going vegan could be the best way to reduce an individual's carbon footprint, stating it could be up to 73%.
Animal agriculture accounts for 51% of greenhouse gas emissions. It's also the number one cause of species and habitat loss due to deforestation for grazing and growing of feed crops. In our country, it's the main cause of water pollution. It uses half of our water, 70% of our grain, and 80% of our agricultural land is used to feed the 10 billion land animals that are killed every year for food.
So whether you're most concerned about the planet, your health, or animal rights, plant-based eating might be the way to go. This doesn't mean you have to go vegan by any means, but reducing meat consumption, especially red meat like beef, could have a great impact on you. If you're interested in giving it a go, the University of Westminster does have a vegan and vegetarian society, so do look it up on the SU website. And that's it for this month's Smoke Detector. Thank you for listening. My thanks to Erin, Natasha, Annie, Sabrina, Zoe and Dave for chatting with us. Credit goes to Adam from Vegan Food and Fitness, Patrick Patrikios, and Dr. Joanne Kong on YouTube. Stay tuned for February's Smoke Detector, where I will be taking you along to Calais while I volunteer with the refugee charity Care for Calais. Speak then.
This is the Smoke Detector Show on Smoke Radio.